We want to thank Jonathan Hayes and John Clayton, two of the Jays. It's four Jays today. The next Jay is Jarrett Bell. Jarrett Bell from USA Today, how are you?
What's happening, Nick? That's pretty cool. You got a little Jay thing going on.
Yeah, Dr. Jay.
I hear you. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, Jarrett. Listen, I know you wrote a great article about Lovie Smith. We talked about Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati with Jonathan Hayes. We've talked about, you know, the lack of black coaches, and, of course, LJ's comment last week. We talked about that and whether there can be done more to communicate and connect with players. And Marv Levy had an interesting thing to say yesterday, which is, ultimately, Dick Vermeil said this too, ultimately, if they perceive that you are one, honest, and two, you care about them, you've got most of the battle won. Tell us about Lovie Smith.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with Lovie Smith is that, you know, he really relates to his players and, you know, listens to his players, you know, and I think that's something, and, you know, that's not a black-white thing per se. It's more or less, you know, like you said, Marv Levy said, an ability to communicate with your people, and you kind of get respect and you give and get respect both ways, and I think that's what makes us effective. Lovie Smith, the one thing I was talking to Jerry Angelo, the Bears GM, about him, and he said, you know, Lovie's got this great quality to really keep everybody calm and composed when they strike adversity, and that's been something that they're really having to deal with as the season progresses.
ESPN ran that shot. I thought it was, to me, the signature statement about Lovie Smith after Rex Grossman had a, what was it, 0.15 game quarterback rating, and he said, you know, we're, whatever it was, we're
12-2,
whatever it was, you know, and Rex Grossman is our quarterback. And he said that over and over again, and I saw it, the sense of loyalty we talked about on the show yesterday with Seth Joyner and Marty Schottenheimer, how he could do it. We saw it with a number of coaches that didn't necessarily have the most imaginative schemes, but it builds a sense of loyalty. This guy's not going to call me out in public. You look at what happened. We'll get to Tank Johnson in a second, but what is it about the way Lovie Smith treats his players that makes them feel like they can trust him?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, that you know that when you're going to have some criticism, it's going to happen behind closed doors. And, you know, that really went over big in the Bears' locker room. And it's not that they don't think that Brian Griese is a guy who could probably come in, but, you know, at that position especially, that's your leader. And you built so much going into the season and preparing for the season to have this guy be the guy that leads you. So once he hits a rough stretch, you really just don't want to, you know, kick him to the curb. And, you know, the thing that Lovie told me, Nick, about it, he really likens his football team to his family. And he said, hey, if a guy makes a mistake or he has a bad quarter or two, I'm not going to kick him out the house, just like I wouldn't kick my son out the house if he makes a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be demanding on them. He's not going to punish them. I mean, he punished, you know, Tank Johnson, you know, a degree for some of the situations that he's had by sitting him down. So, you know, you have to, it's a fine line. You have to have that discipline and that respect. But also, you have to kind of let the guys know that, hey, we're all in this together. And I think that's what really resonated with the whole Rex Grossman thing and how Lovie handled it.
We had Marv Levy, who's played that role as a coach with the guys like Bruce Smith that weren't early in their career, very disciplined players, and found a way to connect to them, and they began to look at themselves as leaders. And once he accomplished that, it was downhill. What does Lovie do to help his players look at themselves as leaders on each team?
Well, I think the thing he does that really you have to have is he's consistent. So he's not going to be wishy-washy and one day handle one situation totally different. So players tend to know what to expect from their leader. And then they can in turn be leaders because he's going to give them the respect to listen to them, to take their input, their ideas, and again, kind of, you know, row this boat together.
So many of the best coaches, Marty Schottenheimer is not exempt from this, have had potential disastrous distractions on their team off the field. Here's Marv Levy talking about that and what George Allen used to tell him, the old Redskins outstanding coach.
George Allen, be careful of that guy that's going to win you a game and lose you too. And why does he lose it? Because he's disruptive, because he's self-centered, because he's not team-oriented in the most team-oriented game, what should be, that there is in football. So somebody once asked me, how do you motivate those players? And I finally learned it's easy. You select only intrinsically motivated players. And you win their confidence, Nick, by being a straight shooter with them. Don't try to con your players. Have them realize over a period of time that what you're teaching and what you're conveying is to their benefit of them and the game and their teammates.
That's Marv Levy. Another thing Marv said was, Jarrett Bell, that charisma is over-exaggerated. It's not the most important thing. It is honesty. It is trust. How do those things fit into Lovie Smith?
Oh, I think, you know, yeah, he is not John Gruden on the sideline. He's like the anti-Mike Ditka. And, you know, he could be very boring, if you will. You know, when I talked to him last week, Nick, I was kind of surprised that he was as open and as chatty as he was. And even his wife told me that, you know, when she first met him, you know, he kind of played that role of being a quiet guy. And I think that is part of him. But I think once you get beyond and you kind of get to the whole thing about communicating with people, you don't have to have a guy who's screaming and yelling and ranting. And Lovie Smith is none of that. I mean, the guy doesn't curse. He's a religious guy. So he tries to, you know, carry himself with a cool, even demeanor. And I think that can actually comfort players. And you know, what you said is so dead on in terms of how you really are effective as a coach. Because, remember, you got 50-something players on the team, so everybody gets motivated in a different way. And when they're professionals, they've got to know how to motivate themselves pretty much. But I think the thing that you do as a coach is you have the players go in with a sense of confidence that we're prepared. So you go in knowing that the coach has given you all the options, all the scenarios, helped you, you know, understand the playbook and the game plan. And when you go into a game feeling prepared, I mean, that's an enormous thing in football. And if you can, you know, convey that to your entire team, I think that's what you do. That's so effective as a coach. And I've heard that from a lot of players talking about some of the great coaches. They would tell you that, hey, you know, Tom Landry, Joe Gibbs, you know, Mike Shanahan, when they were really winning Super Bowls, and probably still a lot now too, that they go in with a sense that this guy knows what he's doing, what he's selling us, we believe in.
Marty Schottenheimer would say to us, trust in the system, one brick at a time, one day at a time, one play at a time. And I'm sure that his Chargers have heard that more than once, but he's had to soften himself enough to play with the individual motivational buttons of each player without still, you know, without sacrificing the perception of him as a strong leader. So here you have Lovie Smith subtly putting in Brian Griese. I don't know how subtle it was, but it certainly was an interesting move. It gives Brian Griese a little bit more of a sense of that rapid-fire speed and acceleration of the real NFL game itself. What kind of statement was that this weekend?
You know, I talked to Lovie the night before the game, and he told me at that time, I'm going to play Brian Griese. So, I mean, they've got everything locked up, the number one seed. Of course, they want to stay sharp and build momentum. But, I mean, he told me the night before, I'm going to put Brian Griese in the game. I'm not going to play Brian Urlacher the entire game. And, you know, Musa Muhammad, he wasn't going to play him the entire game. And so I think within the team, I'm sure he told them the same thing, and they could expect it. But when you're talking about as volatile or as sensitive as a situation as it's been in the past few weeks with Rex Grossman, I'm sure people read a lot more into it. But I think it was a smart thing to do just to, like you said, give Brian a little bit of time and then to try to preserve Rex a little bit too and you know, not wear all your guys out. And, hey, it was a close game. That's the thing that really makes it interesting because, you know, they could have lost that game just as well as they won it.
Since the start of last year, the Bears are 24-7, and yet no one's really mentioning Lovie Smith for Coach of the Year. Why is that?
Well, he won it last year. He won it in a lot of the different...
So what?
last year. But I think, you know, and here's the reason why, Nick. I'm going to tell you what happens with this Coach of the Year thing, and it's not really fair, but it's what always seems to happen. Once you're crappy and then you get good, that's how you get considered for Coach of the Year. Usually if a coach is successful, like if he's 11-5 last year and he's 12-4 this year, people say, okay, there he is. I mean, Tony Dungy's never won Coach of the Year, okay? Bill Belichick, I don't know if he has or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if he – I think I'm pretty sure Belichick probably has at some point, but, you know, when they went in 3 Super Bowls, he didn't. It's always the coach who takes a team like an Eric Mangini. You know, the Jets were whatever last year, 4-12, 5-11, and then now they're, you know, on the verge of making the playoffs. That's the coach, Sean Payton. You know, the Saints were so bad last year. New coach comes in, turns them around. those are the guys who get the most consideration. But I also think you can really make a case for a guy like Lovie Smith and a guy like Brian Billick as well. You know, coaches who have been established winners before, and then they're still doing it. Bill Belichick, to tell the truth. I mean, you know, if he's coach of the year this year, that's not a bad thing. He won't be, but you see what I'm saying? It's like they weren't like dog meat last year, and that's what kind of eliminates a lot of coaches from that consideration.
Well, one of the things, if you look at this season, it's been the most up-and-down season I can remember in the 27 or whatever years I've been connected with the NFL. It has been the most unpredictable. So to be able to bring a team from one year to the next with all the distractions each of these teams has had, I mean, Stephen Nair coming into Baltimore, that's a significant change. And yet Baltimore fires its offensive coordinator. Billick steps in. Let's talk when we come back about comparing Baltimore and Chicago. We'll leave San Diego out for right now. Two teams that win it in the trenches, two teams with outstanding defenses. For the last few minutes with Jarrett Bell, one of the best writers covering the NFL for USA Today. You're listening to Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports.